Welcome everyone to the 365 Mrs. Center Show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. Today, the headline is, man, year of Yammer. There's some interaction within Outlook on the web to be able to fully participate in a Yammer thread. We've also got a few bits and pieces around Outlook. Outlook mobile delegation permissions. This is relevant for me, so I'll just tell you a bit of a story along that. What's our third one? Cross-posting and being able to edit? Let's crack into it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Good now, everyone. Good now. Daniel, there was something you were giving me some grief about here, but something to do with your lower third.
Well, so last week we had a discussion about height and video height. And today I noticed yet again you're higher than me, but I'm not going to bring that up again. Mm-hmm. But I also noticed, and this is, I actually went back and looked at the videos. I'm like, did this change? Because we've had this conversation, Daryl. We've had this conversation before. And so if you look at the lower thirds, which is the lower part of the screen, everyone, you see Daryl Webster, and it's capitalized correctly. And then you see his Twitter handle with a capital D and an S, and because that's the way mm-hmm. he has it. But then you go over to mine, and you see my name capitalized correctly, but then my Twitter handle is all lowercase.
I don't see it.
Well,
it's always been this way, right? Right, like that.
Always been this way. Yes. So thank you for changing it.
I didn't change it. It was always there.
I'm seeing it change live there, and it was capital D, and then you misspell. It was great, but now it's great. Thank you so much for changing. And those in the podcast are like, "What is going on with these guys? Can they not just get their stuff together, get their act together?" But
because we're all such good a professional show, you know, we've got to. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a week. It's been a good week. We're not. If I sum up the messages, we've got a good mix there of administrative. There's some feature type bits and pieces around collaboration, yeah. Some recaps, follow-ups on stuff. So we should get into it. Was there anything in particular that kind of stood out to you? Because we do a comparison of messages beforehand, mm-hmm. and there's always some kind of difference.
Yeah, I think for me, the one big deal that caught me off guard, really, and mm-hmm. and it has to do with the message encryption and the whole idea of Microsoft had announced, hey, you're going to be able to use your own domain, so that emails are coming as your domain that are being sent from the service and all that. Well, they republished that. They made an edit of that, and so it was last updated. But then they published a new item to saying, by the way, we're not going to do that.
Right. Let's jump to that one because I do have that message. What I'm doing, mate, is sometimes we have this very long list of stuff that I could just verbosely type in there and say, nah, nah, nah. But I'd like to just sort of put in some of the highlights rather than stuff like that. So it was there. Sorry for putting you wrong. Office message encryption was what it was about. Hey, and there's mm-hmm. this action required before the 20th of February, which is
mm-hmm. in a couple of days.
Messaging.on Microsoft.com was the thing that was going to catch people out. They had to get ahead and change the mail flow rules for the org, but also for your own mailbox.
Yeah, remember we talked about this before where, hey, we're going to change this. Microsoft said we're going to change this to using your own domain so that customers can see that this is actually coming from you, coming from the tenant, and those messages that are flying through for services. And so that we both agreed that this was a great idea and this was a good change. They're having to roll this back. But part of it was, hey, make sure that your mail routing rules includes this so that no email gets caught up, right? That it actually gets delivered correctly, making sure that your service is configured. Well, now they're saying if you did that and changed it rather than just adding new, meaning you went in and changed that messaging.onmicrosoft.com to your domain, you know, those routing rules, then you need to change them back. If you just added a new, then you should be okay. Or if you took no action, then you should be okay. But just making sure that the emails, because they're not rolling that out right now, making sure that email routes correctly.
Yeah. Well, it was a gradual change, wasn't it? You had to prepare something, and then they were going to turn something on, and now the preparation doesn't need to be in place. Cool. But do make that change before February 20th, and in true good fashion, we'll say the message center number at the end of the message. MC203712. There you go. Updated messages. Updated feature. Teacher. Teams. Mm. Teams channel cross posting.
Yeah.
Why are you sighing?
Okay, so this message and this update is, I think it says it right there in the title about cross-posting a message in Teams. This is MC203671, mm-hmm. and this is you are posting a message and you want to post it in multiple locations in multiple channels.
That's useful. Otherwise, you have to go to each team and channel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you. However, I feel like that cross posting should only happen maybe like 5% or less of the time.
Are you seeing this overused in some places?
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be way overused.
Yeah.
Because every message that I post is so important that everyone in all the channels, they all need, it doesn't matter what channel you're in, you need to be able to see my message because it's most important.
Oh, so this is kind of like the all company, but in Teams?
Yes, this is posting, like you do in Yammer, posting to every group. You know, it's just... Oh no. this is the, I just feel like this is going to be overused, and I hope it isn't. I think we just need to be careful when we're talking about governance, which hopefully every organization has some form of governance that's right for you. But when you're working with us, we're educating our users to say, remember, if you're part of the team, you get those messages in those channels, unless it's a private channel. We all have access to that. So you don't need to cross post every single message, or even half your messages. These are four important messages that say it applies to these channels in a way. This is my opinion. I'd like to hear yours, Daryl.
Oh, good.
But my opinion is that it is used for if I'm in a channel and I want to get the full view of that purpose of that channel, in the full conversation, then if my message is important for multiple channels, then cross post it that way. So that when I'm in the channel, I get the full thought process of what that channel purpose is. That's mine. I don't know. What is yours?
That is a side effect of using the cross posting. You might be authoring that post in a channel that you have permission to. And you also have permission, of course, you need permission to all the channels that you're cross posting to. So you have to be a member to each of these teams. But it distributes the conversation is what you're getting at. Now, I see some use in this, and I'll just step back and tell a bit of structure about it. One of the ways or one of the things that we advise customers to do with a team, there's a few types of channels that every team should have. Should always have a social channel, so you can just drop in bits and pieces that aren't going to, muddy the waters in terms of collaboration and around the actual topics your channels are set up for. Cool. But one that we also think customers should use is a news or org news channel. And this means that you can drop in the tab to your org news page. You can bring in other things using the connectors and things like that. But this would be where I would use moderation as well, if we can. So that you can dedicate a cross post from... internal comms that needs to spread stuff out to everyone to know what's going on. But you're right. The key thing here is we miss on being able to enrich that conversation in one place. It's spread out between all the different teams.
Yeah, and I think there's another thing I don't necessarily – I don't have a solution that's greater than what is being put in place, but I don't like this solution. So I'll get to it in a second. But the – I agree with you. I think moderation. Did you mean moderation as in moderation in temperance, or did you mean moderation as
the
in
moderator
someone
feature.
Who's in charge of making sure that things?
To
are
be honest, I haven't tried it, but I think like if you try posting and saying do it with moderation, so that means that only moderators for each team can respond to the message. Mm.
Yeah. My other point was I don't like being able to go back and edit it and cross post it to channels, and I can't fully explain why. I just don't feel like it is. It's like going back and changing the purpose. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. And again, this is just me, and it's kind of quirky. And I'm sure
you're like Jack from Twitter. Founder of Twitter says, we're never going to let you, we don't want you to edit your tweets. So you want a message out there, and if you edit it, then it changes the nature.
Yeah, I'm okay with editing things within a very short period of time. Give me 10 seconds where I post something and I go, oh, that's junk. Let me go fix that spelling or whatever. It didn't look right, because I often go back and delete my tweets. You know, I'll post one and go, oh, the URL didn't work.
Yep.
Delete. Copy, paste.
But I've already liked it and retweeted it, Dan. What am I going to do?
I know. See, this is the problem. But I don't know. Just seems like, I can go back and edit a message that was posted last month and cross-posted on channel. I don't know. And will that, if I cross-posted a channel, will it show up in those channels now, or will it show up in the channel conversation?
Will they edit bump it to being the most recent message again? Don't know. Well, I think for the orgs that are using it, the nature of this message is you will be able to edit a post. You will be able to go and add a new channel. You will be able to remove the message itself, a bit like a message recall, as they suggest. At least we have the ability to edit that post in all the different places that we have just posted it. We'll see. We'll watch the space. I think... It needs work, okay? To me, I would use something else for internal comms. I would use a beautiful modern SharePoint page, embed a Yammer group for discussion. Everyone who has some thoughts about that, it's all going to go in one spot, and in that group is made public. We'll see what Teams continues to develop in this space. Well, that is the second message. We'll skip that other one because we covered it off. There was... updated feature restricting form-based authentication in Office apps. Not too much to say about this, except that for security purposes, they're removing this kind of support. So it's MC203731. We've been going forward with modern authentication for things that support multi-factor authentication and the like. So this is a good move to remove that. Not much more to say about that one.
There's a way to change that, so if you need to have that changed, but I think it's generally a good thing.
On to our headline, and that is interactive Yammer email and Outlook on the web, which is something that we also expect to see coming into Microsoft Teams as well. The short of it is that we can go into an email and we get our usual Yammer email notification, MC203778. And that notification, we've turned it on as an individual. I want to know when a message has been sent, it's mentioned to me, or it's in a community that I'm following, and I get that notification. I just wanted to take a little moment here to whiteboard out the history of this, right? Because it's interesting. Yammer, when it first came out, you could fully interact with it as if you were never visiting Yammer, but leveraging the platform to get your message out there. So you could send an email directly to a Yammer group. You could reply to it, and it was pretty much just text-based, and you could attach things and, you know, that. Now, at some point, they said, we want everyone to be going just to Yammer. So they changed that notification. So all that you got was the first 200 characters or maybe less. and you couldn't really reply and do things like that. It's gone full circle, but even more so. What they've done is they've come back to Yammer. You get that notification. If you are in Outlook on the web, is really where they're on the web. It's such a mouthful, isn't it? Side note, most of the world maybe still calls this Outlook Web App. The reason that they wanted that acronym was because it was Office Web App. They wanted to expand it. Just a history lesson there.
Oh, thanks for the history, Darryl.
Yeah, that's right. And that looks like a G. Sorry about that. So Outlook on the web. This is where it works, where you can get your full kind of Yammer thread. Are you squinting?
Yammer I am a little bit. And I'm also thinking how we describe this to those that are listening the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, well, then I won't spend too much time on it. But think of it as your full Yammer thread. Now, I do have that as an example, too.
And I think this is one of those, where do I get my conversations and how do I work in conversations? Mm. And I think it's a good thing so that, you know, you can be working where you need to be working. Mm. But it's do I have conversations in Teams or do I have it in Outlook?
Mm-hmm.
And where do I need to be bouncing back and forth? You know, all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's, this is another avenue, and your organizations need to be paying attention to what are our options so that we can make good use of those and making sure everyone knows that maybe it's not a either or, it's just here's where, you know, we as an organization are going to use this.
Yep. Precisely. Look, either way, the way I think of this is there will be times when you are in the team or you're in the Yammer group and that's where you're doing your thing. Or maybe in Yammer's case, you are on your modern SharePoint page and that's where you're interacting with it. But we can also now, or soon as it's coming in, interact from Outlook on the web while we're in the flow of answering our emails. That's the key thing for me. That's a very common work practice that people have. They go in, they check their email, they're looking at notifications there. It's all collected in one place. So the brilliance of this, Yammer and Teams later on, is that you'll be able to interact and reply to a Teams or a Yammer message directly from Outlook on the web. And as an example, this is rolled out to one of my demo tenants. So we have a message thread where Alex Wilbur has said something. You notice the header there, that it's got a Yammer logo at the top too.
It's a bit too subtle for me, but okay.
Yeah, well, maybe that's probably the brilliance of it. It does look just like a Yammer thread.
It does, but I'm in my email. So I would rather it be a little more obvious that what's going on. But I think as your users and you get used to it, you know, you'll notice, hey, this is not a normal email. Because I think we have to have our users understand that they can do it right here. And, you know, of course, that's education. But, you know, instead of going, oh, this is Yammer, so I've got to pop out and go to the Yammer site, I could, you know, jump into and start engaging right here instead of having to do that. So just making it a little more obvious that, hey, down here, let's go. you know, you can engage its message.
I wish I'd got Windows Ink going properly so I could circle things. But, you know, you can see how many people have seen the message. Isaiah likes it. But I'm getting this message as Patty Fernandez. I'm in that persona. Isaiah has looped me into this conversation. So I'm in my flow. I'm going through Outlook on the web. I'm checking my messages. I'm responding to notifications. I'm not taken away from my flow. I'm not taken out to this platform where, yeah, that's where we'd like you to experience Yammer. That's where we'd like you to experience Teams eventually when that comes. I'm still in my flow. So I can go, all right, okay, Isaiah, yeah, that's great. And then I can go in and say, whoops, I do have something to say. Oh, come on. Bluetooth keyboard. Do have. Yep, so nothing too extravagant there. What's that? Formatting as well.
So you're just typing right in the message a comment that is, it's in the email message, but it is showing that Yammer thread and, you know, that box you see right at, you know, write a comment, you're just typing right in that box and within the email message itself.
Yeah, and just like I'm in Yammer, I can go in and I can bold and highlight and put in links. I can also attach a document. So I've gone to attach. That's loading the document up into the conversation. And there it is for people to have a look at, all from the email flow. And then I'm on to my next message. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like I said, this will be something that people have to get used to.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all used to being in our email and reading messages and hitting the reply button rather than, being interactive. I mean, this is totally new, right? Mm. So this is not exactly what we're used to. And that's okay. I'm not saying that's bad. It's just we're going to need to get used to that. I think the another big thing on this is, and I like to hear your opinion on this. This is Outlook on the web.
Mm-hmm.
What about Outlook?
Shouldn't
this come to Outlook? I understand some of the technology going on here, but shouldn't we get this for Outlook client? I use Outlook on the web all the time, but I have reasons. So maybe are more people using Outlook on the web than Outlook client? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Some of us have shifted to that because, I mean, it's so darn functional. It's really good. I'm a big fan of it. However, I do spend more time in Outlook on the desktop because I'm connected to multiple mailboxes and I want to see that all overlaid together, calendars overlapping and stuff. So I don't know if we'd see this come to Outlook on the desktop. As we know, and you appreciate, you've got Outlook or Office Web Apps, let's go back to that OWA acronym, so much easier to roll out a change and push it out to everyone and not have to worry about what's compatible with what on desktops and stuff. But for bringing it back down to the desktop, it's always been a slower thing because it's a different route, right?
I mean, I agree with you. However, we have the monthly channel for the desktop apps. Mm-hmm. So even if they wanted, they could easily push the things in an update out. I also think about this on mobile. I would really, even though there's a Yammer app, and I would like this functionality in the mobile app, the Outlook mobile app as well, to be able. I want it consistent, and there's so much that is not consistent. It really frustrates me. And Outlook is the greatest offender. The Outlook mobile, Outlook on the web, and Outlook desktop, greatest offender of not being on par. This is yet another item. Now it's great. I like it, but I have to, if I want to use it, I got to pop out to Outlook on the web. I just don't feel it. I'm not feeling it, Daryl. I think this is one of those that I'm okay with things rolling out to one of those first, but I want to plan for rolling out to everything for the other avenues for Outlook as well. And I don't see that plan. I don't know that there is a plan right now, at least not public.
Yeah, I would say no sense in doing it on the mobile because you have an entirely dedicated app. Why would you embed a Yammer message inside of a Outlook message in an Outlook app? You just tap something and it goes over to the right app for that experience. But Outlook on desktop, yeah, it would be nice to see it there. We'll see. And apologies to everyone in the live chat. The live chat was broken for me. I've only just refreshed it, and I can see there's a bunch of great conversation going on there. Thank you, Rachel Davies and Dean Gross, Phil Worrell, Steve Collier, and thousands of others. Yes. Moving on. What have we got here? Middle message. An updated feature, the enhanced Power BI tab for Teams, and that is MC203845. I didn't look at this very closely, but you do a bit of work with Power BI sometimes, Dan?
I do.
Yeah. What is the current tab like?
The current tab displays a single report. Mm-hmm. So if you're adding Power BI to a tab in Teams, you get one report. So this is, if I want more than one report, I have to add additional tabs. This is talking about allowing those collaborative workspaces that we're able to create in the the new workspaces we're able to create in Power BI to where we're bundling those collections together of reports and dashboards and such to display that in a tab rather than having to have individual tabs for everything.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, that makes it a lot richer.
Yeah, so the tab will also support paginated reports in the tab as well. So that it's great. This is one of those, while I kind of consider this I don't think incremental is the right word, but this is not a huge splash. It is actually, I think, will greatly enhance the usage of that tab.
And tabs of real estate now. Microsoft Teams, if you have too many, there's all those ones that you bump off to the side.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody wants theirs, you know, their tab that they think is most important to be on the far left. And oh goodness, my tab is now in the drop down.
You drag that out, please, so everyone can see it? Yeah. Look, and what do you reckon? Side advice for tabs and Teams: change them up. Don't feel like you have to have everything pinned there. If there's something you've mentioned in a team meeting and you want people to find it easily, then pin that tab and replace the other one that has been there for weeks.
Right. And then also, you know, I think a simple way to keep things fresh is if you add a tab, create a reminder for yourself to go remove it or to bump, you know, for things what you just said. If it's a link you're set in a meeting, hey, I'll put the link as a tab so everybody can get to it real quick. Well, in a week, that's not going to be useful anymore because maybe it was a form you wanted everybody to fill out or whatever.
Exactly.
Remove it. Add a reminder for yourself to actually proactive and remove it.
So. Yep. And then there's the SharePoint way where if you're wanting to bring stuff together, rather than creating a bunch of tabs, create a modern SharePoint page in your site, bring it all together into that, and then it's only one tab. Tons of options. Power BI. Go check it out. Action. A call to action.
In Teams.
Now, I did say I had a story for this next one. New feature, Outlook Mobile enables delegate permissions for mailboxes. MC203923. Boop. You like that? Yeah.
Boop.
Boop. Anyway.
Okay.
Comma, bop, I don't know. The reason that this is impactful, as I'm thinking about it for a couple of projects I'm on, when you're going through a mail migration and you're bringing people across, you will always find the pairing of an EA and an executive or a mailbox that's shared with a team or a particular person who you're collaborating with on the same mailbox. Now, I've got a Cooley story where a CEO has three EAs, travels lots of different places, needs three people to help manage his calendar because his focus has been with people and talking with them and making sure he's in the right place at the right time. The calendar is his playbook for the day. And one thing that they haven't been able to do, because sometimes these changes need to happen quite quickly and at any time of day, is do this effectively from the mobile. You don't want to just be spinning up your laptop or your Surface or your something to get that full Outlook experience all the time. Poor practice, but you know, if the only way to do this and have that full experience was to sign in as that person for that mailbox and have those creds. Now you've got proper delegation. You don't have to do that. Get back to those secure practices. That's going to be very useful. Very useful. Because everyone works off their mobile, right?
That is correct. And one point I think Stephen made was, sharing passwords. This is one way, hey, I need you to get in my email and do this.
Yep.
Don't do that. No. Don't share passwords. So anything we can help people, whether they have a personal assistant or a colleague and they need to take action or whatever in their mobile, you know, make sure we're delegating permissions appropriately. Mm. Yes, it does mean you need to plan, but if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So let's make sure that we're planning ahead, but use the delegate permissions.
Yep. So that's gradually rolling out mid-February and should be completed by mid-April. So that's some good news to share there with some of my customers. And lastly, feature update, tasks powered by To-Do is generally available in Outlook on the web again. Yeah, so if you haven't noticed, that little tick at the top, or rather down the bottom where you would normally have tasks, is now going directly through to To-Do, not a Outlook experience.
It is, and it's slow. It's too slow for me. I click the box and it takes 3 or 4 seconds for it to fully load. And I don't care that I get to see gears moving. It's too slow. I feel like if you're going to integrate into Outlook like this, that it needs to feel like it's part of Outlook. I know it's not part of Outlook, but it needs to feel like that. When I click that checkbox to get my task, I need to see my tasks in a second. I don't need 3 or 4 seconds. Just throwing it out there. And I don't know if that's possible, you know, because we're dependent upon it's a separate server, you know, all of that. But I just feel like it's too slow. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get some feedback on that as more and more people use this. Now, you know, as people are saying in the chat room, you know, oftentimes organizations don't use Outlook on the web. And so the things we've been talking about before may be not available. But for those that are, I think this is yet another reason why Outlook on the web is superior to the Outlook desktop. There's other reasons, too. And maybe we should have like a combined list of everything that's in Outlook on the web and not in anything else. But this is another one where we have that integration with To-Do, I think, which is great. We want to manage tasks in one place, not in four. I'm trying to remember how many ever services we're rolling out, how many services we could have tasks in. So anyway.
That would be an interesting panel discussion, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and that was MC203853. Good job. That is us for today. Was there anything that you saw being discussed and, you know, out and about there in the community?
Well, I think the one of the bigger things we discussed in the community was, you know, the rollback for Microsoft's not going to be hijacking our third-party web browsers search defaults. So before, we talked a lot about this, that Microsoft was going to install a plugin when you install the Office 365 Pro Plus, which is the default Office when you're downloading from Office 365. And they were going to roll it out as an update for your existing users. They were going to install this plugin for Chrome initially and then would target Firefox to make Bing the default browser. And there was no way you could not install this plugin. And I think I want to just take credit. This show is probably the reason why this is rolled back. I'm laughing. It's a joke, but Microsoft said, we're not going to do that anymore because we heard you and heard that, you know, this could be a problem. Yeah. No kidding. This was a huge problem. So
you do know that our show plays in the big screen,
a
couple of big screens in Microsoft on campus
all day. All day, they play it on repeat.
Yeah.
Yes.
the conversation I saw extending was around the SharePoint view of the library within Teams for files.
Because it's view only.
Yeah. Well, that, you know. Yeah. Exactly. You can't change up your metadata. But some people saying, "Oh, we want more features." Other people saying, "Maybe we're going in the wrong direction here. We might be overwhelming people." I like this phrase, cognitive overload, which means, you know, my brain's gone. Yeah whatever. Right. I think interesting discussion there. We need choices, but we need to be able to have those choices subtly, not presenting people with a whole bunch of buttons. So this is why I like our new toolbars, which are, let's put the most common features that are available there, and everything else is under an ellipsis button. Yeah, well, that's us for the week. We'll see you again next time. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and you get those extra deep dives there. So it's been good to hear some of our additional interviews. We used to interview people during the show. We just it's so hard to somehow get that in there and still keep to half an hour.
Well, and I think really what has happened, Daryl, is more services are now in the message center. We're seeing a lot more messages that we need to cover, and a lot of good content. And I think giving some, I think really switching to the audio podcast for those deeper dives and interviews is the best way that we can cover and give some, making sure that we're not skipping over messages because we don't have time. We want to make sure we cover those important messages and cover them well.
Yep.
So I'm okay with this, especially if we can make sure that everyone's checking out the audio podcast as well, refreshing what has been said and as well as catching those deep dives. So I think it's a good way to go. And maybe, you know, and I just thought of this, Daryl, maybe we'll create a page of all our interviews on the messagecenter.show website, so people can jump to where those deeper dives are if they want to check those out.
Well, the other side too, mate, is when it does require something to show in a demo, we have also branched out and done an additional little video separately. So we could pull those all together as something of show notes. Well, thanks everyone who joined in the chat room. Thanks to those who have tuned in and watched, and enjoy the podcast as well. We'll see you again next time on episode 133. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.